I began the khutbah saying, all praise be to Allah, the one who sent his messenger with the guidance and the true religion. So that he overtake it to over all the religions. Even if the disbelievers dislike it. I be a witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah without any partners. He created the creation and he knows what they do. I be a witness that Muhammad is slave and messenger of Allah, the most trustworthy one. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions, and those who follow them in good way, up until the day of resurrection. After what? Verily, the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all lessons and benefits for those who seek the benefits. And from that is the single Hajj he performed, which is known by Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj. Because in that, it is called like that because on that day of Hajj, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the people, لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Get from me your rituals of Hajj. لَعَلِّي لَا أَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا. For that I may not see you again after this year. So let us stop by some benefits and curves of this Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we follow him. The first stop that we are going to make is in the time of his performance of Hajj. As Jabir radiallahu anhu says, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Medina for 9 years. He did not perform Hajj. Up until it was the 10th year of Hijrah, when it was declared to the people that Rasulullah ﷺ is going for Hajj this year. Jabir said, there was no one who was able to come walking or riding except that they came. All of them willing to follow Rasulullah ﷺ and do like what he does. And here is the question. Why the Hajj of Rasulullah ﷺ was so late? Why it only happened on the 10th year of Hijrah? The answer is that Mecca was under the mushrikeen, the atheists. And it was not good for a Muslim, it was not possible for a Muslim to do Hajj in any different way other than the way of Quraysh, the Kuffar. The Kaaba was surrounded by 360 idols. You cannot escape from that. Quraysh has changed the Tawheed that they inherited from their fathers, Ibrahim and Ismail, to the shirk that Amr ibn al-Hay, the mayor of Mecca at his time, brought for them from Damascus. He brought them idols and convinced them to worship it, so that they worshipped idols. These idols that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the 8th year of Hijrah, when he conquered Mecca, he destroyed them, saying, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَاقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam destroyed all the idols from around the Kaaba and around Mecca, like the one was in a place called Nakhla between Mecca and Taif, and the one was in Taif and Las, and Uzza was in Nakhla, and the one Manat, and the ones were on the two mountains of Safa and Marwa. Look at that, everywhere idols. So Isa Salam, when he conquered Mecca, he destroyed all these idols. That was on the 8th year of Hijrah. So why he did not perform Hajj on the 9th year of Hijrah? It was because there was still some practices of shirk remaining in the minds and hearts of the Arabs. Some practicing of shirk still remaining. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Bakr Siddiq as Amir for Hajj on the 9th year of Hijrah. And when Abu Bakr was somewhere like half of the way to Mecca, he sent Ali after him with a message to stand in Mecca and call the people, because people will not listen to anyone to change their way except if he's from Bani Hashim. And Abu Bakr is not from Bani Hashim. So he sent Ali to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali came and gave the khutbah in Mecca, saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid for any mushrik to enter Mecca from this year, and no one to perform tawaf naked. Were people performed tawaf naked? Yes. Quraysh, this is one of the corruption that Quraysh made. They told the people, whoever wants to make tawaf must make tawaf in clothes that he never committed any sin, whatsoever sin. And then, people were very poor at that time. So what they can do? They either buy clothes from Mecca, or they take off their clothes and perform tawaf naked. Subhanallah. Yani they don't want people to perform tawaf in clothes that they, for example, maybe look bad to a woman. But they command them to take off all their clothes and perform tawaf naked. Subhanallah. It wasn't possible for Rasulullah ﷺ to come and make tawaf with these people. People who perform tawaf naked. Or a mushrik who calls other than Allah around the Kaaba. It would be very difficult for Rasulullah ﷺ, who was then the head of the land. That's why he did not go for Hajj on the 9th year. But he sent Abu Bakr, and then he sent Ali in the same time to call people not to practice these things. When it was very clear, only Tawheed, only piety, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came next year on the 10th. And this means also that Hajj was not made obligatory up until the 10th year of Hijrah. 10th year of Hijrah. Salah was only made obligatory on the 10th year of prophethood, of Ba'th. And Hajj was made obligatory on the 10th year of Hijrah. Two different incidents, 10 years between each. When it was made obligatory, not to hesitate to perform any worship which is obligatory, Isa found he was found doing the optional worships very highly and much better than anyone else. So how come he is still doing the Hajj when it is obligatory? Why immediately at the beginning of the 10th year of Hijrah, when it was made obligatory, he commanded someone to go on tour around the Arabian Peninsula announcing that he saw Salam going for Hajj this year. Jabir said there was no one who was able to come walking or riding except that they came. What does that mean? Two things. First, that the Muslims were responding to the call in right away. Right away, once they hear. Not like people today. They have ability to do Hajj, but they are waiting for it not to be crowded. I don't know when. And it's getting more crowded year after year. If we don't do it this year, next year will be more crowded than this year. Wallahi, it is getting crowded every year. Every year more than the one before. So if you are waiting for it till to be less crowded, then you may not do it at all. You may not do it at all. And the other stop we do on the journey of Rasulullah ﷺ is where Jabir radiallahu anhu said about these people who came from every side of the Arabian Peninsula to Medina. He said they all came to see what Rasulullah ﷺ doing, and they do like him. This is very important. This is a proof that the Sahaba were so eager and following the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And that's why Asma bint Umays, the wife of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, once she heard that, she came for Hajj. She was in her last days of pregnancy. Last days. Yani she's expecting to give birth anytime. Rather that she was a camel, which may make a man give birth, not a woman, if a man can be pregnant. The movement of the camel, you may not have tried that. You need to try it once. Here in Jeddah, you have a lot of them. Just get on one and see. You will vomit. There is air sick, sea sick, and camel sick. And camel sick is even worse. But she was riding on that camel. SubhanAllah, she was pregnant and riding on that camel. And then she gave birth just right by Dhul Hulaifa. Dhul Hulaifa is only 22 kilometers away from Masjid Nabawi. Only 22 kilometers away. Not even a quarter of the journey to Mecca. She gave birth. Now she could have taken that as an excuse to return back and stay home. And Allah will reward her because she has an excuse. But she insisted to go to see Rasulullah ﷺ how he's doing. She asked Rasulullah ﷺ, I gave birth. What should I do now? I want to go. He ﷺ understood from her statement that she wants to go. He ﷺ told her to take shower and to put something to prevent blood from coming to the clothes or floor. And now, not like many people today, when yani this Sahaba came, all came out just to see the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and follow it. Today, many people, you speak to them, they say, okay, I'm on this madhab, don't talk to me. I'm on this madhab. I asked the Sheikh, he said so. Okay, your Sheikh is highly respected, no problem. But here is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can your sheikh know more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He will tell you no, but he knows more than you because he must have seen this hadith. Okay. If he has seen this hadith, why he tells you to do opposite of it? This is even worse. We try to find him an excuse which is valid, that he did not see the hadith. But you say, no, he must have seen it. If he must have seen it, then why? He's opposing it. Why? Then the highly respected sheikh will drop from our eyes. If he takes an opposite side of Rasulullah, then we'll drop him. Definitely we'll drop him. Whoever he is. Whoever he is. If he takes an opposite stand, opposite way, opposite direction from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're not going to respect him. Definitely we're not going to respect him. If he knows the hadith and he decided to have his own opinion, I myself do not respect him. So whoever he is, even if he is the greatest alim. But I never assume that there is an alim will oppose the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he knows it. Unless if he says, I doubt if it is authentic. That's a different thing. But he says, yes, it is authentic, but I don't use it because I don't see it as correct. See, no. Your existence is not correct. It should be underground. How come Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something, but you still find something different with them? That's wrong. It might reach to the limit of kufr. Now, Allah Ta'ala said, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَيُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نولي ما تولى وصل جهنم وساءت مصير. Many ayat in the Quran shows that whoever takes a different way from the way of Rasulullah sallam, then he is not going to be accepted. من عمل عملا ليس عليه امرنا فهو رد. The third stop on the journey of Rasulullah sallam is as Jabir رضي الله عنه said that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on his talbiyah. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك. Jabir named it توحيد. Jabir named it as in صحيح مسلم توحيد. توحيد means the oneness of Allah. So he صلى الله عليه وسلم just repeated that from the Hulayfa until he reached Mecca. And then he told the Sahaba to raise their voices with it. Why? To make everything, human or jinn, bird or rocks or whatsoever, to hear the Tawheed. As this Arab ibn Nansila was full of shirk, now we have to fill it of Tawheed. Same thing, all land. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. Why? Because Quraysh used to say, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك إلا شريكا هو لك تملكه وما ملك. They used to say that, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك إلا شريك. Oh, Allah responds to you with no partners except one. One partner we give you, only one partner. Every one of them say one. So there are thousands and millions. Not one. You own him, but he and all what he owns. They say, Allah, you own this partner. Along with what he owns. So what is the benefit then to join him with Allah in worship? Why? If Allah owns him and everything in his hand, so why you worship him? Allah owns him as he owns you. So why you worship him? Why you worship this owned creation? Worship Allah alone. Worship Allah alone. The owner of all this universe. And this emphasizes the tawheed, the importance of tawheed, and that we have to keep on it, practice it, calling to it, reminding others with it. We do not ignore it for even 1 second. Purifying manners and characters cannot be without tawheed. For those who always say, we do fadail a'mal. There is no any fadail a'mal if there is no base for a'mal. Base for a'mal is tawheed. Why? Simply because when you want to do fadail a'mal, you want the reward from it. Correct? From whom you want the reward? From the one you are ignoring is how come that be? You take care of the right of the creation, but you don't take care of the right of the creator. How can that be? So take care of the right of Allah Ta'ala. Now, the fourth step in the journey of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the ease that he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with. He showed the ease of Islam practically in this journey of Hajj. Although it is already said in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah Ta'ala wills you ease and Allah doesn't will you difficulties. But he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the command of Allah, showed us that practically. Asma bint Umays gave birth, and usually the woman who gives birth in the hospital, air conditioned and very nice medical care, she keep bleeding for at least 20 days. If she gave birth in a countryside, with some woman taking care of her, but she is resident, but she's in the countryside, not in the towns, she may bleed 30 days. What about if she gave birth in a journey like that? She must expect that she bleeds for maybe 2-3 months because of this hard journey. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed her to go for Hajj. He did not say, no, you are going to face difficulties. No. She wants, you go. But you take shower. Shower for what? She's just bleeding. She takes shower and put a preventer, like bombers or what? Napkin. And also, when Aisha radiallahu anha had the menses in the area called Sarif, just before Mecca, when you come from Medina, just before Mecca, just before Wadi Fatima, there is a place called Sarif. They come there, and Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to see her in her tent, find her crying. He knew immediately, he said, Anafisti, have you got the menses? She said, yes. Said, well, don't be sad. This is something Allah decreed for the daughters of Adam. She said, but everyone will go back with Hajj and Umrah. I go back with Hajj only. Isa Salam said, don't worry. You do everything that the Hajjaj can do, but don't make tawaf. Don't make tawaf. Because tawaf has to be in purity. And also when he saw Ka'b ibn Ujra and the lices, drops of his head, he said, I never thought that it is so bad. Shave your head and give a fidya. And then he gave him choice of three. Slaughter a sheep for the poor people of Mecca, or feed 6 needies, or fast 3 days. But he gave him the ease. He gave him an easy way. And when he saw the man who used perfume, he said to him, go and remove this perfume. Because this man did not know the ruling, that it is not allowed. If he knows the ruling, he must remove the perfume and he must give fidya. But because he does not know the ruling, so only to remove the... If the person does anything forbidden from what is not to be done, for example, he trimmed his nails or mustache or head while he's supposed not to do that in ihram, in the state of ihram. What should we say? He already removed this. He cannot return it back. If he does not know the ruling, he doesn't need to do nothing. But if he knew the ruling before that, then he got to either slaughter sheep for the people of Mecca, poor people, or feed 6 poor people from Mecca, or fasting days. If he knew before he did that. But if he just come to know after that, then he doesn't have nothing. And he also, from the ease that he showed to the people in Hajj, that he allowed the women, all people, and even those who accompanied them to leave Muzdalifah after midnight. Now he allowed them to leave Muzdalifah after midnight. For what? So people do not push them. Where? Where? In the Jamrah. So it means that they are allowed to stone at night once they arrive. Not as some people say, no, they don't stone until the sun rises. If they wait until the sun rises, then there is no benefit of going early. Because people again will come, the strong people will be already arrived there, and they will push them. So the harm will happen. And Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she went at night, stoned, and then she went to the haram, performed tawaf at night. Her slave, her boy, said to her, mom, you're doing that at night. She said, yes, it is allowed for us to do that at night. Otherwise, what for we leave early? Now, and even those who accompany them, they are allowed. Because then, if you say that they are not allowed, then there is a greater difficulty for them. So they go with them to the Jamrah, and maybe to Mecca, and then they return, and then they go do it again. So it's a difficulty. You put the people in harm now. So where is the ease? Where is the ease then? Now? And also from the ease that Isa Sallam brought in Hajj, is that whoever is unable to stone, to go for stoning, for sickness, or age, is very old, or weak, or a child, then it is, Isa Sallam allowed such kind of people to assign someone else to stone on his behalf, or his or her. And from the ease is that whoever is stoning for himself and on behalf of other is to stone the Jamrah yani for him first, and at the same time stone right after it the 7 stones of the other. Not to yani, for example, in the days of Tashriq, stone the Sughra, Wusta, Kubra, and then come back. No. Where's the ease then? Well, he is stoning on behalf for ease. So ease for that and difficulty for this, how come this? It's ease, it's all ease. Now, and also he allowed those who were serving the Hujjaj, like the shibbers, to stone 2 days in 1 day. And 11 and 12 on the 12th. And they don't come to the Jamrat on the 11th. But when they come on the 12th, they stone for the 11th and 12th. And this is also from the east that Rasulullah brought. This is not only for shivers. Anybody likes shivers. The bus drivers who are not allowed to come back on that day, for example. Or police, doctors, nurses, whoever is having a responsibility that he cannot leave on that day, he will stay there and on the following day come and join 2 days in one. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also from the east that he brought, that he allowed Bani al-Abbas to spend the night in Mecca, not in Mina. Why? Because they were serving water to the Hujjaj, Zamzam. So if he allowed those who serve water to the Hujjaj to stay in Mecca, what about those policemen? What about the medical care? What about, like these things? And the guide of the Hujjaj, people coming from far away, they don't know the place, and there is one responsible with them, who say, you responsible have to go back. They get lost, don't care. Now where is the ease there? Where is the ease? So it is allowed for those people who serve the Hujjaj to stay in wherever they are. Wherever it is needed for them to be in. Now, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the ease that he saw in Hajj, is that in Arafah, he said, when he came to the mountain of Ilal, mountain of Arafah, which is called Mountain of Rahmah, he came by it and he said, I stood here and all Arafah is place for stand. So you don't need to go to the mountain. Anywhere. This is from the east. What if Rasulullah did not say that? Tell each other for that mountain. It's a small mountain, maybe as big as this mosque. Imagine 2.5 million people climb all this mountain. They're going to kill each other. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave ease. He said, anywhere in Arafah. But he commanded them to come off the valley. There is a valley, you can see it. It's called Urana. It's not from Arafah. You're not allowed to spend the day there. Up until Dhuhr, it's allowed. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in Urana. But right, you pray Dhuhr in Arafah. And you stay there, Dhuhr and Asr, you stay until Maghrib. But inside Arafah, not in Urana. Not outside the boundaries of Arafah. And also he did the same in Muzdalifah. Instead, he came to the mountain of Mash'ar, where the mosque today, and he said, I stood here, and all Muzdalifah is placed for standing. And when he moved from Arafah to Muzdalifah, as well as from Muzdalifah to Mina, he also showed a practical ease. He said, a practical exercise of ease. He said, As-sakina, as-sakina, slowly, slowly, don't push each other. Today they don't push. Today they don't push. Today they kill. Because today we have cars, buses. And I saw, my eyes, no one told me, I saw two smashed Hujjaj like this, like a piece of flour, like a piece of bread. They smashed him, they're dead. But you cannot even see the face, you cannot recognize. It is as slim as this paper, like that. Subhanallah. This is haram, ya ikhwan, haram. We have to be we have to relax. And from the ease that he showed in his Hajj, is that when Urwa ibn Mudarris, a man from Tay, Ha'il today, in the north of the kingdom, he came from there alone, riding his camel, willing to do Hajj with Rasulullah. But when he came at night to Arafah. He stood at night, and then he came to Muzdalifa and joined the Salatul Fajr with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, there was no any mountain on my way except I climbed, willing to see you or see something. I was tired and I made my camel tire, willing to catch you in Arafah, but I could not. Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, whoever prayed our prayer, this Fajr prayer in Muzdalifa, and stood before that any moment, day or night, in Arafah, then is Hajj is perfect. It's Hajj is done. It is ease. It is ease. Yani now imagine if Rasulullah said to him, you go back, next year you come back. It's going to be a difficulty. And whoever, and he said to Safiya, his wife, Safiya bint Hay, Ummul Mu'mineen. When he was told that Safiya had the menses, this was just before they leave Mecca. And he left Mecca in Safa. So he was told that Safiya, before performing Tawaf al-Ifada, she had menses. He said, Ahabisatina, he, is she going to hold us here until she get rid, and she get free of menses? It is enough for her, her first tawaf, meaning tawaf al-ifada, which is rukun, pila. It's enough for her. So from that we understand that whoever woman had the menses before tawaf al-ifada is dropped. But tawaf al-wada', but tawaf al-ifada never dropped. She will have to do it. And the fifth stop on the journey of Rasulullah sallam is with the sermons that he gave. Sermons that he gave. He gave four khutbas, four sermons in Hajj. One in Medina. When people came from everywhere, he gave them a khutbah there. Taught them what they should know at the next step, which is the mawaqit. He taught them the mawaqit and he taught them what to do when they come to the miqat. They have to come off their clothes, normal clothes, and put on their ihram clothes and declare their hajj. Not declare the niyyah. Niyyah is in the heart, but declare the hajj. Labbayk Allahumma hajjan or mufridan or hajjan tamattu'an or hajjan qiran, like that. Or labbayk Allahumma umrah. And the second khutbah he gave when he arrived to Mecca, and he did the tawaf and sa'i. Once he finished the sa'i, he gave a khutbah on the mountain of Al-Maqam. And he commanded the Sahaba, whoever did not bring his hadi, to come off his ihram and make it tamattu'. Usraqa ibn Malik ibn Ju'sha, the companion, stood and said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us about our matter. Is it something written before we are created, or something we are going to see in the future? He said, no, it is something written already. Suraqa then said, then why, Ya Rasulullah, we do? If it is written that people of Jannah by their names, people of fire, then so why we do? Khalas. He said, you do, and you are going to be guided to what you are written for you. You are going to be guided to what is written for you. Everyone has to worship. You cannot stop worship. You cannot stop worship. And the third khutbah, third and fourth, third was in Arafah, and fourth was in Mina Yom al-Nahar, on the day of al-Nahar. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there gave two khutbahs, one in Arafah, one in Mina, and in both khutbahs, he reminded of one important thing. He spoke about many different things, but he reminded of one important thing that we need. He said, "Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum." He said, "Verily, your blood, your honor, your wealth is forbidden for you." Yani one not to harm the other with. You don't kill him, you don't injure him, you don't take his money, you don't speak evilly about his honor. He don't backbite, he don't slander, he don't curse, he don't suspect with no any proof and right. And then he said, it is as forbidden as this day, in this month, in this place. As the day of Arafah, in the land of Arafah, in the month of Hajj. All three respected things. And he repeated that thing again in Mina, on the next day, Yawm al-Nahr. He repeated that because not everyone in Arafah hears him saying that. So now he again told Abu Musa in Mina, gather the people and quiet them. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave them again the khutbah again. Now, so I ended the first khutbah by that, saying, fear Allah and avoid His boundaries, do not exceed them, and know the right of His slaves, and do not exceed them. And then the second khutbah we began by praising Allah Ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon Rasulullah. Then I said the sixth that we make on the journey of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with the ahadith of Hajj. He mentioned many ahadith. We selected all about 8 ahadith from them as they are the most important to our topic. The first hadith is which is agreed upon on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah said, Al Umrah ila Al Umrah. From Umrah to the next Umrah, this is kafara to whatever sins between them. So today you did Umrah. The previous sins, forgiven. Now you are going to live your life and definitely you are going to make sins. Willingly and unwillingly you are going to make sins. This is the nature of human. What can remove this? Your next Umrah. So don't be too long away from the Haram. Especially if you are in Jeddah. Because you commit sins, believe me, so massive. And one day you can, in one day, you may make like a mountain of sins in one day. So how to remove them? Just go to Mecca and Umrah. You in Jeddah, what is difficult for you? It's easy for you as well. Easy. And the whole year, Mecca is free. Put on your ihram and go. No one asks you for permit. You are allowed. Just go and perform Umrah and come back. Umrah takes you from the time you move from your house till you come back, maybe 6 hours. Let's say 8 hours. What 8 hours can be? Nothing. And then he said, "Well, Hajj al-Mabrur, laysa lahu jaza'a ila al-Jannah." Hajj al-Mabrur, the perfect Hajj, which is established with halal money first. Upon Tawheed, upon Sunnah, on knowledge. Now, avoiding anything haram or makruh, dislike in it. The second hadith is the hadith agreed upon on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that we came out with Rasulullah in the year, in his journey of Hajj. She said, from us who declared Umrah, and from us who declared Hajj and Umrah, and from us who declared Hajj only. And she said, Rasulullah Sallam declared Hajj. Then she said, whoever declared Umrah, then he, after Umrah, came off the Ihram. But those who declared Hajj only, or joined between Hajj and Umrah, meaning Qiran, they did not come off the Ihram. The day of Al-Nahr, the 10th. Then they came off the Ihram. And in the hadith reported by Muslim in the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said that verily Rasulullah stoned in the day of Al-Nahr, Duha. Duha means from the sunrise until just before Duhur. That is called Duha. like 8, 9, 10, 11, up to maybe 12. These 4 hours are duha. Naam. But after that, he only stoned after the sun moved from the zenith, and from the middle of the, and when it is the time of duha. Not before that. That is Jabir saying in Sahih Muslim. So how come today people stone before Dhuhr time? That is not allowed. That is not allowed. The fourth hadith which is agreed upon on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma, that Rasulullah sallam stood in Hajjat al-Wada', kept asking him. He came to Mina and he stood for the people, so they come and ask. Fatawa. A man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not realize that I shaved before I slaughter. He said, slaughter, no problem. Another man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not realize until I done it, I have slaughtered before I stone. He said, slaughter, no, stone, no problem. Then Jabir said, he was not asked about anything. قُدِّم أو أُخر, made forward or backward, except that he said, do and no harm. Some of us, I'm saying that is if you forgot. And this is wondering, how come he forgot? All these people forgot, and why Jabir said he wasn't asked about anything done first or last, except he said, do and no harm. It is to bring the ease. Okay, because imagine now if all the 2.5 million people go together to Jamrat al-Aqaba only and stone, and then they all go to the slaughtering house, it will collapse. It was already collapsed for little number of this than this. A couple of years ago, little number than this entered the slaughtering house, the new one, it's strong and very new, and it collapsed. Imagine 2.5 million getting to the slaughtering house. They're going to slaughter each other. However, and everyone wants to slaughter first. They may kill the animals stepping on them. It is very crowded. Now, and guess if they go all together to Jamrat al-Aqaba on that day, how crowded is going to be? 2.5 million. And then they all go to the barbers. No barber will stay. They all run away. 2.5 million the barbers at a time. They will escape. Because they're even their shoulders are going to be broken of shaving. And guess if they all go to Tawaf now. 2.5 million at the same moment they are in Tawaf. How can it? So it is not that it is obligatory to go on the order of Rasulullah, but if due to forgetfulness it is allowed, now we say it is better to do the order of Rasulullah, but it is allowed to do anyone before anyone, no problem, which is easier for you. And one another hadith I did not bring, which also shows ease in Hajj. He saw Salam slaughtered and he said, I slaughtered here. And all the ways, all the roads of Mina and Makkah are places of slaughtering. To make it easy. To make it easy for people. And on the seventh hadith, which is reported by Abu Dawood ibn Majah and authenticated by Ibn Hibban, on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a man saying, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمْ لَبَّيْكَ عَنْ شُبْرُمَا. He is declaring Hajj on behalf of someone else. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, who's Shubruma? He said, Shubruma is either, the narrator has a doubt. He said, أَخُلِّي is either my brother أو قريبني or one of my relatives. He saw Salam asked him, did you perform Hajj for yourself? He said, no. He said, then perform Hajj for yourself, then perform it for Shubroma on behalf of others. This means that performing Hajj on behalf of others is allowed. A number of ulama said that whoever do Hajj Badal and on behalf of others who are passed away, for example, then he would be given the same reward of Hajj as that man, as that person. Same reward. And you do not do Hajj for others before yourself. And you cannot do two Hajj in one journey. Yani for you and the other in the same journey. No. This year you do it for yourself. Next year you do it for one another. And you cannot do in one journey on behalf of two, three, four. No, you have to do it only on behalf of one. Only of one. And if your father and mother passed away, they did not perform Hajj, you cannot say, okay, oh Allah, I'm performing Hajj on the behalf of my father and mother. Say, no, cannot be. It's either one, either father or mother. You choose one. Now, you begin with your mother. And then I said, Allah, and know that it is not the only thing that we can mention about Hajj, but it is from the things that to be mentioned during the time of Hajj. And from these things that we have to mention about Hajj, about the days of Hajj, is what Imam Bukhari reported on the Thursday of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said that Rasulullah sallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ يعني العشر. There are no days that the good deed is more beloved to Allah and them than these days, meaning the 10 days of the Hijjah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, even jihad for the sake of Allah, he said, even jihad for the sake of Allah, except a man who went out for jihad with himself and his wealth, and never come back by anything, with anything. And he died, and his wealth is gone. And for those who are not able to perform Hajj, but I also mentioned there in the khutbah, I said, it's a jihad which is a jihad, not what's happening today. It's a kind of mess. What's happening today is a kind of mess. In most of its cases, it's not jihad. It's only gangster fighting. It's not jihad. The jihad must be with a Muslim ruler under a clear flag. There is a commander who is, obeyed. But today no one is obeyed. Even Bin Laden is not obeyed. If he tells the Qaeda now, stop, don't fight, they say his cavalry is with them. And they're going to continue. No, it's a mess. It's a big of mess now. No one has the right to command no one. It's a mess. No? And then I also mentioned the hadith, which is reported by Imam Muslim, where Rasulullah ﷺ said, صيام يوم عرفة أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله والتي بعده. So this, the fasting of the day of Arafah, fasting on the day of Arafah, is, يعني, the reward of it is that Allah Ta'ala forgives all the sins of the previous year and the coming year. And then I said, may Allah Ta'ala accept from us all, and we supplicated then. So this is the end of the khutbah. Inshallah Ta'ala, next Friday we can continue with the benefits of the guidance of Hajj from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi. There is any question related to the topic? There were some questions, not questions, requests, speak about the Udhiyah and the rulings of one who want to make Udhiyah. But we said, inshallah, next Friday, we're going to speak about that. Although, next Friday is going to be the fifth of the Hijjah. So it is good to mention something about it today, which is whoever is intending to give udhiyah this year, then he has, once it is declared that tomorrow is first of the Hijjah, then you have to halt from tomorrow, which is the first of the Hijjah, I mean, you have to halt of trimming your nails, mustache, hair, pubic hair, armpit hair, all this you have to stop. Until you slaughter. Not until the day of 10th of the Hijjah, no, until you slaughter. If you delay slaughtering until 11th, 12th, 13th, you are allowed. But you have to halt until you slaughter. If you ask someone to slaughter for you on your behalf, then until you know that he slaughtered. Or by the sunset of the 13th of the Hijjah. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. What do you mean by sick? Sick, yani that permanently she cannot come for Hajj?
Yeah. Because she's very old people and she's not able to travel.
If that is the case, yes, you can't do Hajj on behalf of her.
Is there any idea for
that? No, when you put the ihram, you say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan an, on behalf of, like that. No, not niyyah. Niyyah is in the heart. But it's a declaration of the ritual that you are doing. No.
If I make niyyah for the Hajj, so the same thing?
No. That's only for udhiyah. You don't, yani for Hajj, only once you get into the ihram, then you are not allowed to trim, you are not allowed to take off your hair, nothing. No. No, he caught up. I said he caught up Arafah, but he caught up Arafah at night. And then he said, whoever prayed this prayer with us in Muzdalifah and was already stood in Arafah any moment of night or day, then his Hajj is perfect. But if he did not, if he missed Arafah at all, he missed the Hajj. No, I mentioned the Hadith. But the man did not say where he stood. But Rasulullah said to him, whoever prayed this prayer with us, meaning in Muzdalifah, and ready any moment of night or day in Arafah, then this Hajj is complete. Hajj is complete. But of course, when he said Hajj Arafah, it does not mean after Arafah you leave, you go back home. Al-Hajj Arafah is like when he وسلم, said, مَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ. It does not necessarily mean that you only recite Surah Al-Fatiha and Salah and you come off. No, there are other things, but the core of it is Surah Al-Fatiha. The core of Hajj is the Arafah. But still, there are many obligations you have to do. No, Allah. No. Huh? Slaughtering? If you have? If you have, you mean the udhiyah for one who is not performing Hajj. Different opinions of the scholars. Some scholars say that whoever have the financial ability to slaughter has to slaughter. But the proper opinion that we take is that it is sunnah. If you are able and you do it, that is good. If you are not able, then if you are able and you don't want, there's no sin on you. No sin. Allah Alam. But of course it is great worship. If you know that you are and it comes from it, you will never hesitate to do it. Now, and off record, is that all? Ah, there's a question from the net. Now, go ahead. Go ahead, Akh Faisal. No, it's all. The Talbiya as Jabir says that as Aisha said that some of us was on Talbiya, some of us was on Takbir, and Rasulullah Sallam here, all that is not object no one. But he Sallam stopped Talbiya when he saw the Kaaba itself. When he came into the Haram, and just before beginning his Tawaf, he stopped the Talbiya. But when on the 8th of the Hajj, when he gone for Hajj, he continued also Talbiya. Continue to tell them. It does not stop at first when you arrive and that's it. No. Talbiya for Hujjaj will stop when they come for Jamrat al-Aqaba on the day of Nahr. That is the time when Rasulullah Sallam stopped the Talbiya and started making Takbir, stoning with Takbir, and then he did not come back to Talbiya at all. Allah Alam. Faisal Abu Yusuf says here, I want to ask if residents of Mecca go for Hajj. Do they perform Qasr, reduced prayer, or full? We have covered this last week. Now, this is also different opinion from the scholars. Some scholars, the minority, say that the people of Mecca will not shorten the prayers in Mina and Arafah, as well as in Muzdalifah. And they say that the reason is that shortening here is for travel, and they are not traveling because Mina and Muzdalifah, these are from the boundaries of Mecca. We say that this is not correct. The proper opinion, as Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah and others said, that the shortening of prayers in Mina, Muzdalifah, and Arafah is rituals of Hajj. It's not for travel. It is rituals of Hajj. It's not travel. The first, and the other people, their dalil is what been reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, in his time of Khilafah, he married a woman from Mecca. And he had a house and a family in Mecca. So he, when he came for Hajj, he did not shorten, he completed his Hajj, considering himself in Mecca. And when he, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, used to give fatwa that to be shortened. But when Uthman led the prayer, he prayed behind him, complete. The people came to Ibn Mas'ud and they said, "Yani, how come you tell us that it is to be shortened but you complete it?" He said, "Al-khilafu sharrun kullu." Khilaf, meaning the dispute, when yani, the Khalifa is all even. So you have to obey the Khalifa and follow him. this means that Ibn Mas'ud yani did not find that people in of Mecca to shorten the prayers in Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah as a travel, but as a ritual of Hajj. And that is a proper opinion. That is a proper opinion. The shortening in Mecca, in Mina, Muzdalifah, and Arafah is for Hajj, it's not for travel. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك